Well, good morning. God is so good, amen. We have several that are on vacation this week, and it's good that we get to take vacation from time to time. I pray that they are enjoying themselves and that they're able to go to maybe another church and worship. And it's always good to be able to go to other churches and worship, amen. This morning we are going to continue in the series of messages on the Spirit-filled life, living the Spirit-filled life. Today I've entitled the message, What It Looks Like. We've looked at the different virtues of the fruit of the Spirit so that we can understand what each virtue does in our lives when we surrender our lives to Him. And when He wants to produce that virtue in our life, we need to know what it looks like. Many times we live our lives trying to please the Lord, trying to live our lives in a righteous way, in a way that would be pleasing to Him. And many times we fail to do that. Have you ever felt like you failed to live up to what God is desiring in your lives? I know myself I have. And when that happens, I become disheartened. I will also sometimes think that I'm able to disappoint God. But in all actuality, it's impossible to disappoint God. And I'm going to say that again. It's impossible to disappoint God. Because, see, disappointment comes from a failed expectation. When something happens and Kathy expects me to do something and I do something that she did not expect, when I did not fulfill that expectation that she had, there is disappointment that sets in. See, God is omniscient. God knows when I'm going to fail Him, how I'm going to fail Him. He knows how often I'm going to fail Him. And because He's omniscient and knows what the future holds, there are no expectations. He does not expect me to do something and then, oops, I guess Craig couldn't do that. No, nothing takes God by surprise. So therefore, God does not expect. God already knows. And because God already knows, He cannot be disappointed. Sure, He is grieved. He is grieved when He tells us not to do something and we do it anyway. He is grieved when He tells us, don't go down that path. That's not the path that I've chosen for you. And we choose on our own to go down that very path that we have selected. Whenever He tells us to do something and we don't do it, He is grieved, the Bible says. Or excuse me, He is quenched. So there is a quenching and a grieving of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So when we are living our lives trying to please Almighty God, when we fail to do so, we are disappointed. We will become disheartened. We will be the ones that have the lack of faith. But God is always there to redirect us, to continue to guide us, to try to pick us up so that we can walk the path that He's chosen for us. This morning, we're going to look at a familiar passage, John, the 15th chapter. Almost a year ago, as I started with the church, September, the first Sunday of September, I started in a series called The Secrets of the Vine. And in that book, in that series, there were four baskets here on stage. And we got a glimpse of what God was desiring in our lives. Our lives are very circular. Our lives are not static. Our lives are constantly changing, constantly evolving, and it circulates so much that many times we come back and revisit things over and over again in our lives. And as our lives circulate, we get to see glimpses of God working in and through our lives. Turn with me to John, the 15th chapter this morning. John chapter 15. And I'd ask you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Jesus is getting ready to leave His disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's on His way to the Garden of Gethsemane where He's going to be arrested. And as He went across the Kedron Valley and up the hill, there's a vineyard going up the hill, and this is what He would say to His disciples. He said, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear forth fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in Me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without Me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be My disciples." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. We thank You that You love us so much that You would go all the way to the cross at Calvary. That You would allow Your Son to suffer, to bleed, and to die for us. So that our sin might be atoned through His death. And Father, I thank You that You would not leave us comfortless, but that You would send us another comforter called the Holy Spirit that would abide in us. And Father, we thank You that through the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit can guide us, that the Holy Spirit can protect us and provide for us and bless us, Father, as we walk in harmony with You. And Father, we pray today that You will give us insight into Your Word. And Lord, that You might be exalted through this message and draw all men unto You. And we thank You and praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing I believe God wants us to see through this is the relationship of the Spirit-filled believer. The relationship is the most important thing. The relationship that we have. Now, last week, we looked at the gift that God gave us in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We see that function is different than position. We know that we can be a child of Almighty God, and that's our position. But the function, therefore, can either be positive or negative. See, my children, Nicholas, Nathan, and Danielle, will always be my children. Does not mean that they're always going to be obedient, but they will always be my children because my DNA is running in and through their veins. And when they are disobedient, functionally, they are not under my authority. Positionally, they are still my children. So there is a big difference between position and function. The relationship is the most important thing. That's why Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He didn't say you get to call the shots in your life. No. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's all about me working in your life and through your life. Jesus spoke of the relationship in a very pointed way. My kids will always be my kids, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be obedient children. The difference is what we are alongside. Obedience, when you look at the Greek word, comes in two, it's made of two words. Hupa, akouo. Hupa means to stand under. Akouo means the hearing. Disobedience, on the other hand, is para akouo. Para means to stand alongside. When there is a paramedic, that paramedic is standing alongside the doctor. They're in communication with the doctor, but yet they are there at the scene. A paralegal is standing alongside the lawyer. They are doing the work that the lawyer wants them to do. They are the para. They are standing alongside. When Kathy would fix a lovely supper, she would tell the kids, kids, it's time for supper. Go wash your hands. Now, if they were hupa akuo, if they were under the hearing, if they were under her authority, they would instantly jump up, run and wash their hands and come sit down at the table. And that's what every child does. Amen? No. If they happen to be playing a game on the TV, they'd say, just a minute. And she'd call them again. Time for supper. Go wash your hands. Just a minute. See, they're being disobedient because they are alongside the TV rather than placing themselves under the authority of the person that's in authority in their lives. That's the difference. That's what makes them disobedient rather than obedient. The relationship that we are in, I'm speaking functionally. What is the difference that God makes in your life? What is God doing in your life today that He wasn't doing last week, last month, or last year? See, there are still four baskets on this stage, except you just don't see them. We have the first basket that has no fruit. We have this basket that has some fruit. We've got that basket that has more fruit. And we've got this basket that has much fruit. It's all about the relationship. See, when we are in this basket, when our life reflects no fruit, when our life is totally absent of the presence of God, when there isn't any fruit being displayed in our lives, functionally, what does He do? I told you this a year ago. I told you there would be a test. He disciplines us. And the Bible says He chastens all that He loves. He chastises us so that we no longer bear no fruit, we bear some fruit. And then when we bear some fruit, God wants more than that out of our lives. But many times some of the things we're doing causes us to not have enough time. And God wants us to have more fruit. So what does He do? He prunes. Absolutely. He takes things out of our lives that are unnecessary. Things that hinder us. from fulfilling what He is desiring in our lives. So He gets us here to more fruit, but He really wants us to have much fruit. So what does He do? Absolutely nothing. He asks us to abide. He asks us to spend time with Him, not in order to get to know Him, but He asks us to spend time with Him because we know who He is. It's all about the relationship. Our life cycles and circulates. And that's why in the past year, I have brought five message series. The vine, maturing in the master, God's call to leadership, the prayer of Jabez, and now the spirit-filled life. Because God wants to drive us to the foot of the cross so we are totally reliant upon Him. And it all deals with us being relational. When Kathy was gone, Danielle came over. She needed to watch the kids that Kathy normally watches. And Aaron was there. And so Danielle and Aaron, and yes, little Emma was there also. She is a blessing. I love little kids. I used to not like little kids that much. Because, well, you know, here, you change them. This one's starting to smell. You know, that kind of thing. Funny thing is, when Aaron has Emma, if she starts to cry, he'll kind of bounce her on the knee and he'll go, "Emma, don't cry." And that's about it. "Emma, don't cry. Emma, don't cry." And pretty soon it's, "Danielle, Emma's crying. Emma, don't cry. Emma, don't cry." And I want to tell him, "Dude, if what you're doing isn't working, stop doing it." That's pretty simple theology. And Danielle will come and she'll go, "Oh, da da do 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 da 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 do 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 do," and she'll redirect. Do 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 do. Do, 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 do. And pretty soon Emma's all calmed down. One was relational. The other was not. "Emma, don't cry." Yeah. God wants us to be relational. God wants us to be so relational that our function is a direct result of our relationship. Yes, positionally, we're children of God. Yes, positionally, we know who we are. Functionally, many times, we are not under His authority. That's why the Spirit-filled life is a life that is lived in submission to, being dominated by, and under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, whereby He, not us, He is living His life in and through us. And He does that by allowing us the privilege of bearing the fruit of His likeness, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. The law cannot produce those virtues in our lives. Only a relationship can do that. That's why Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branch." What is flowing through the vine now flows through the branch. That's why he was talking about the relationship and what it looks like. But not only was he speaking about the relationship, he was speaking about our total dependence upon God. Look with me in verse 5 once again. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, your life is empty. Apart from me, you are not fulfilling the purpose that I have for you. Apart from me, you are unable to walk the path that I've chosen for you. Apart from me, you cannot receive the protection that I'm covering you with. Apart from me, you cannot be blessed as I want to bless you. God wants to bless us so abundantly. But apart from Him, functionally, those blessings just aren't there sometimes. Have you ever felt like you were a day late and a dollar short? Have you ever felt like you missed out on a blessing? I know I have. I used to hate to go visiting. That's just not who I am. I told Kathy Wednesday night, oh, tomorrow we get to go to Columbia. I'd rather stab myself in the eye with a pencil. And more than that, there's like six women over the age of 60 that I'm going to be with. I was blessed. But at the time, I felt like it was time to make the donuts. It's time to make the donuts. Every time I go to visit, before I am able to get in that vehicle, it's always like that. But I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, when I get done visiting, it's like, God, thank you for blessing me as you have. Dorothy's a phenomenal lady. She blessed my heart. It was great being there. It was great being with those six women. I had fun even though I didn't have air conditioning in the Durango. Oh, their hair was just going like this. Is that too windy back there?
Tough.
It was fun. We miss out on blessings when we hold to what we want. Did you hear that? We miss out on blessings when we hold on to that which we want. But when we yield what we are wanting to what He is wanting, we are always blessed beyond measure. Our cup overflows. If we're wanting God's protection, God's provision, God's blessings in our lives, it comes out of being totally dependent upon Him. That's why Jesus was saying, I am the vine. You are the branches. Because apart from me, the sap that flows through the vine, apart from me, that sap is not going to flow to the branch. That's why it's important. That's why the Spirit-filled life looks like this. See, the emphasis is on the fruit. The emphasis is on the fruit. Some fruit, more fruit, much fruit. The emphasis is on the fruit. How many here have ever been bored with life? Yep, I have too. My hand's up. Let me tell you something. When you're bored with life, that's an indicator. That's an indicator that you're not being filled with His Spirit. That you are not a Spirit-filled Christian at the time. The reason for that is this. When you are filled with the Spirit, your life resembles fruit. You have some fruit, more fruit, much fruit. There's no way that you can be bored when Almighty God, the God of this universe, the God that spoke creation into existence, when that God is actively working in and through your lives, there's no way you can be bored. When you see God doing God-sized things, there's no way you can be bored. No, boredom comes from walking your own path. Boredom comes because you're lacking in those blessings. Boredom comes because you're fighting your own battles and you're becoming weary in well-doing. Boredom comes when we're walking the way we wanted to walk. There are times that I will think, this is what I want, this is what I need. And when God gives me what I want and what I need, many times it's not exactly the way I pictured it. Well, there's a new thought. Sometimes a change is needed. When we're walking down that path and we're feeling so bored, how are you today? Bored out of my gourd. Nothing new happening in my life. That's an indicator. That is an indicator. So when you feel bored, frustrated, anxious, those are all indicators that you're not being totally reliant upon God and that He isn't actively working and doing things in your life. I want you to see the person without God. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5. Person without God. I could also say a person that has God in their lives, but isn't being relational. But the person without God, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I have told you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're talking about social sins. We're talking about sensual sins. We're talking about religious sins. We're talking about personal sins. When we are bored, guess what? We start trying to take care of ourselves. We are walking down the path that we have chosen. And because of that, many times we will drift off. We will end up having social sins and personal sins and religious sins, as well as sensual sins in our lives. That's what a person without God looks like. But a person with God looks like this. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. The person with God has those virtues in their lives. Now, how many of us have all nine? Well, you do You have access to them through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it looks like. A person with God has those virtues available to them. But notice, Paul did not say, I want you to be more loving. I want you to be more joyful. I want you to be more peaceful. No. See, these virtues are not what we do. It's what He does. See, that's why the world can show you love when they are receiving love in the process. That's why they can have joy when everything's going great in their life. And that's why they can have peace when there are no wars going on in their family and in their personal life. But let the bottom drop out of their lives, they have no love, they have no joy, they have no peace. The difference is the relationship. That's why Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. See, a year ago, you would not have been able to hear this message, but you've grown. See, it's all about the relationship of us not holding on to the things that we want, but yielding it each time to His Lordship. That's why when you know you have to go and you have to do something that you're really not excited about, when you yield that and follow the Lord's leading, you will be blessed. I remember back in Bethany, Brother Everett, he was the guy that normally we'd get into a verbal altercation wherever we happened to go. Because he could just hardly wait to tell someone, you know, if you just don't go to church like you're supposed to, you're just going to break hell wide open. And he's like, Everett, hey, calm down. We didn't come here to antagonize him. That's just the way Brother Everett was. Every Monday night we went out on visitation. Every Monday night as I was eating supper before visitation, I felt the same way. I didn't want to go. But every time we went, even though Everett would do those things, I was blessed beyond measure. What has God been wanting to do through you that you've been holding out on? What is God wanting to do and to purpose in your life so that you can see Him do something that is God-sized? What is He requiring? Sometimes it's an act of faith. Sometimes it's just to set our agenda aside for the sake of spending some time with Him. God wants us to know today that He's not interested in us trying to live our lives to please Him. What He's interested in is holding your hand, putting His arm around you as you walk the path that He has chosen. That's what Almighty God is wanting in our lives, so that we are walking in concert with the God who breathed the breath of life into us. That's what He's wanting. So today, the invitation is this. Maybe there's something that God is wanting to do through you. Maybe God is moving you and wanting to discipline you. Maybe God is wanting to accomplish something through you, and you've just been holding on to that and not quite willing, and you feel like you've been missing the boat and missing those blessings. Today it's time to simply come and say, okay, God, I hand it over to You. I want what you want more than what I want. That's our invitation for today.